the voices of great men remind us that we too must speak constantly for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You will be hearing the voices of some of God's great men. I want you to listen to Dr. Ernest Reveille, who for almost 50 years was superintendent of the Evansville Rescue Mission in Evansville, Indiana.
You know, we need witnesses today. Well, that's what Jesus said when he went away. I want you to make it plain. As he slowly goes up into the heavens with those nail-pierced hands and those feet pierced with the spikes, that side the spear was put in. He said, "Ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth." Make it plain, folks. That is the message of Jesus. Make it plain. And we ought to make it plain, too, because the gospel is the power and the salvation to everyone that believeth. And now let us not be disobedient like Jonah, but let's be like Habakkuk tells us, the mighty prophet of God. Go out and make the gospel plain. Like Jeremiah in the face of opposition and the host of hell, may we never back up. Yes, is there any message from the Lord, Jeremiah? Yes, I've got a message from the Lord. I want to tell you, God's going to deal with you. God's going to deal with you, and God did deal with those people. Say, I'm glad we got some folks like Nehemiah, Jeremiah, and mighty prophets like Elijah and Elisha, mighty men of God like John the Baptist that went before King Herod and said, it's not right for you to live with this woman. Oh, boy, that didn't pull him down off the king's throne, and that upset him. No wonder that woman got all disturbed, too, you know. And she said, I'll get that fellow, I'll get him. And the girl had danced before the king, and the king said, I'll give you the half of my kingdom, you know. And she goes back to her mother and said, well, I want to tell you what happened. And she told the story how she danced before the king and all the coast there. And she said, I don't want his money or his diamonds or his gold. I want his overhead. Well, you know, that is plain, sure. And the gospel made plain to the king by the mighty man of God. John had his head clipped off, but he's in glory now with his head on. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Make this gospel plain, but the time is short. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And I'll bid you goodbye today. I'll meet again. God bless you. Sinner, repent of your sins. Safe. Make it plain. Let's be on with beating for Jesus, going the second mile, never letting up, but pressing on the voice, the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I'll bid you goodbye, sinners. Come to the Lamb. Saints, go to the mercy seat. And amen. And amen.
At the age of 93, Dr. Charles Weigel, who has endeared himself to all who have heard him, sings his song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. This song was written by Dr. Weigel many years ago after a tragedy happened in his life. His wife had left him. Dr. Weigel made up his mind that he would go on and serve the Lord regardless of the consequences. He briefly states this story as he presents to us this great song, which has blessed thousands around the world.
I don't care what it costs. If I never see her or any other woman, as a wife, I said, I'm going on with you all the way. And something came into my soul and stiffened me up and made me feel that I was on the right way without a doubt. And I went on with the meetings, and right after that, God began to reveal to me what he thought of my giving up everything else to stay with him and preach the gospel. It was one of the greatest meetings that I ever had in my life. I preached for 2 weeks and never gave an invitation. The building was crowded. Billy Sunday told me just a few weeks before, he said, Weigel, don't go into that town. He said, I wouldn't go there. I said, but I prayed about it, and God told me I should go. Well, he says, you won't do anything there. He was mistaken. I obeyed the Lord, and in 2 weeks, I gave an invitation on Sunday morning, and over 300 people came up the aisles. And I'm weeping, crying, and yielding to Christ. That night, 200 more came. And folks said, well, we never saw anything like that around this country. Here, I said, it isn't me, it's the Lord. The Lord's answering prayer. And I got so happy. Oh, I was so happy. I became an old-fashioned preacher. Went on. And so the increase increased. The calls came all over America. I even went to the West Indies to satisfy some of my friends down there. And God blessed my ministry. My wife died in 3 years after she left me. I was in my home down in Florida, all alone, sitting at the piano. I play the piano. I'm not much good at it, but I play it anyhow. And I get to thinking of how God had done so much for me and how it was growing on me and how souls were coming to Jesus. And then I said, Jesus, no one ever cared for me like you. I wept. I got excited. I said, you are so lovingly, so kind. You're doing everything for me. And then I stopped, and I wrote the whole song in 20 minutes. Now, that's something I've never done since. The whole song that I'm going to sing in 20 minutes. And it's gone around the world. They're singing it. People come to me from different countries and say, well, we sing that song down in our country, in our language. I say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for that.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no for me.
Sunday, called the fighting preacher of the 20s, is a man whose life has touched thousands, yea, millions, during his ministry. Billy Sunday died at the age of 73 in 1935. Listen to an excerpt from a sermon on the subject of booze.
I don't give a hoot for the regulations of the sale of liquor. If we must have booze, well, let's sell it in the saloons where it belongs. That's where it belongs. Government regulation of booze has always been worse than what was in the sale of private hands. For what was in the sale of private hands, they kept in the saloon where it belongs. What difference does it make whether a man guzzles beer standing up a bar or whether sitting down at a table? Booze sold to a preacher or a high school girl has the same effect as when it's sold to an automobile thief or a horse thief. Congress has passed a law putting $2 a tax on whiskey and expect to realize $300 million. That means that the American people have got to buy and drink 150 million gallons a year. They have put $5 a barrel tax on beer. That means the people have got to buy and drink 32 million barrels of beer a year. It doesn't take a lawyer to figure out that if you do that, you take that much money out of the legitimate channels of trade. You spend that much less for food and clothes and boots and shoes and education and automobiles. Oh, America didn't need repeal. She needed repentance. She didn't need rum. She needed righteousness. We don't need Jags. We need Jesus. We don't need more Brock. We need more God.
Dr. W.B. Riley, the famous pastor of the First Baptist Church of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and founder of Northwestern Christian Schools, gives a brief testimony concerning the conversion of a young man.
12 years went by, and I had a most astonishing and beautifully written letter one day, signed by that same boy. And he said, "Since you talked with me that day, I've been a Christian. And I'm happy now to tell you also that since that time, I've not only finished the high school and the university course, but I've taken a course also in theology. And today, I'm the pastor of such and such a colored church in Texas." The church was a prominent one. As I have reflected upon the fact that it only required a few minutes that day of my time and interest, I confess very frankly, I often hang my head in shame that I have not put in more such times with people of possible conversion. And my moral would be, let us redeem the time unto God, knowing that it's short, and that marvelous results may be accomplished in a very brief conversation if Christ is presented therein.
Dr. George W. Truett, a man known in Baptist circles all over the world and pastor of the great First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, was a man of God. His voice is heard in a sermon delivered from the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, a number of years ago.
Now, to go against him means that you're not succeeding, but he is success. Success is recognizing the will of God and trying to do it the best you can. He doesn't succeed who forgets that. He may have a bank full of gold. He doesn't succeed who forgets that. Success! Your success is the phantasm of success, the sarcasm of success, utter futility, defeat, if you're leaving the Lord out of your plans. He wants to be your master. And then he says, "I'll turn your life into a great triumph scene." If you're in the world 40 or 50 years or up to 70 or 80 or even reach the century mark, I'll make the flowers to bloom in your path. I'll make the music to echo in your ears. I'll make your hearts to join in the glorious chorus of music to the effect of God's grace, and grace is sufficient for you. And then when the time comes for you to pass from the earthly sphere to the land beyond, I'll be there at the depot of death waiting for you. And I'll convoy you myself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You need to be afraid about when or where or how you'll go. The automobile may get you, the wreck may get you, the illness may get you, but remember, whenever the time comes, I'll be at the depot for you, and I myself will convoy you across, and there'll be no trouble. And then in the land beyond, when all are assembled before the bar of Christ for final reckoning, I'll be there to take the place and to make the defense for everyone who's put his trust in me. I used to be, when a lad frightened well nigh to death at the thought of that judgment day of our Lord, as he sits upon his throne, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and we shall make our account one by one to that great and omniscient judge. I used to be terrorized beyond words. No more of that now. I put my case in my attorney's hands. My attorney is Christ. If any man sin, we have an advocate, an attorney, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I put my case in his hands. Manage it, I can't manage it. Take care of me, I can't take care of myself. Save me, I can't save myself. Keep me, I can't keep myself. And he answers back, I'll forgive, and I'll save, and I'll guide, and I'll keep, and I'll be with you living, and I'll take care of you dying, and I'll take care of you at the judgment. And then we live together forever in the house of life above.